Bart, first of all, what a life, huh? You go from Alabama, the University of Alabama, to Wisconsin, and you live your life in a beautiful city. I mean, you have to feel blessed.
You certainly do. I like your wording. You have to feel blessed because I don't know what else could describe it. I have been richly blessed with a wonderful wife of 60 years, and she don't even look 60 years old.
That's right.
And it's just been an absolute joy. And then to have been associated with the great people that I have been, from players and coaches and businessmen and others, I have richly, richly been blessed.
Let's talk about the start and a 17th round draft pick, right? How does a 17th round draft pick end up a five-time NFL champion?
With a tremendous assistance and coordination of others, because I need not tell you this because you're very familiar, but there are many people who are totally unaware of what team truly means. And I made this comment to my assistant over here just a few days ago. Ironically, we were talking about that. But spell it together. Everyone achieves more. And you get an indication of how strong that word is.
How much did you learn from your college coach on to Vince Lombardi about how important truly a team is, even though obviously the quarterback either takes the blame or all the credit?
I didn't learn that much coming out of the college because there were some changes. But Coach Lombardi was so driven that it was easy to understand why he was going to emphasize the needs and the strength of that word. And so it was a great, great blessing for all of us who had the opportunity when he came to Green Bay.
When he did first come to Green Bay, how much did you know about him? Because he was an assistant coach before that. Did it take like one day until they, this guy's different?
Well, not exactly, but we were given information about him from the organization, the Packers, so we could be reading about his background, his history, and so forth. And so I was reading as fast as I could to try to get as much information as I could.
What do you remember that the adjustment from to a new coach at the time?
Well, that his background, where he was from, and so forth. And I'm not sure you're aware of this or not, but he and Tom Landry both coached at West Point.
Yep.
And so when you study and see things like that, you have to realize how blessed those two were to have been at that same very classical institution as they were.
I know I've seen comments from a lot of your players from that era saying it didn't take long after a few practices to say, this guy's different and there's something about him. We want to win for him in a different way. Can you describe that?
Yes, because when I mentioned before, the meetings that we held were just dynamite. I could hardly wait till the next one,
Really?
for the next one. And so, yes, it was. And when you were in those meetings, you had an indication of the strength of this man. And that's why I wanted to go and be there for the next one sooner, because I was so pumped about going to that next session. It was unbelievable.
I remember seeing one thing from you once when you said, Vince yelled at me in front of everybody, and you took him privately, and then he never did it again. Do you remember the circumstances?
Well, that was just something that I don't think was any ill intent
Right.
necessarily, but that was the way it happened.
Right.
And I didn't feel like a quarterback could be yelled at in front of everybody else and maintain that leadership stance that he needed. And so I did, and I just respectfully asked him, said, could I see you for a couple of minutes this morning before our meeting? He said, sure, come on in. And that's what I asked him, and he said, you got it.
And it never happened again.
Nope.
That's great. So the first few years he was there, I know you evolved into a really good team before a great team. Did you see that phenomenal stretch coming?
We felt it.
Did you?
I think we did, because those meetings were so well organized, well disciplined, informative, helpful. Gosh, hardly wait as you finish one meeting to want to go to another one. And
that's
so
unusual,
it was,
too, in football,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, it is. And but he was an outstanding teacher, and I think he was very sensitive to what we had been through there at Green Bay. We had been struggling and so forth. And he was capitalizing on all of those situations to make it even better.
I love the fact that people don't even know this, and I tell them all the time about you, that you lost your first playoff game and never lost another one. I mean, that is unbelievable. What do you remember about the feeling of playing in those playoff games, being different and just being special and knowing you guys were all world and could beat anybody at any time?
Sensational feeling, wonderful feeling, just a driving force kind of feeling. There were all kinds of words I could put to this and with this to explain it, but it was just a fabulous experience and something that because of that, you do remember it forever. And I'm grateful that I was in a situation like that and have that benefit.
How about the first championship that you won? What do you remember most about that
one? How tough it was in that we had never been in one.
Right.
And so we had to really work and struggle and make absolutely certain that we didn't hurt ourselves and certainly not beat yourselves. And so it was a tough challenge, tough fight.
What do you remember about the game itself? Anything stand out at all?
Well, only about how tough it was. And so when you do that, you come to appreciate the great challenges that are there for everyone in the National Football League. It's a rare happening for someone. And so when we were getting ready to play in that game, we were preparing ourselves better than we had ever prepared ourselves for a game. And I don't mean any extra things that you would do.
Right.
I just mean in the way you approached it, your attitude toward it. And so it was extremely helpful for us.
How about Coach himself? Did he approach you guys in a different way when it came down to championship time? Did you see the stress in him and how much he wanted it in a different way, or was he just always that way anyway?
Well, he was always that way, but he had that great, ability to reach you, touch you, work with you so that this entire team was going to benefit from it, and every individual is a part of it that was in those teams, in those meetings. But so when we were ready for the game, when it came down to game day, we were well prepared.
Every guy seems to say the same thing. If it wasn't for Coach Lombardi, I would be so much different in my life. It really wasn't all about football, was it? I mean, he taught you a lot of things about how to run the rest of your life, didn't he?
Absolutely, because this man was extremely well organized relative to priorities in your life and so forth. Just quickly, God, family, others. That was the order. That's how you wanted to live, how he wanted you to live your life. Well, it doesn't get any better than that. But how many people do you hear say things like that?
Not very often anymore, especially.
That's right.
I want to talk about a couple of specific games. First, the Ice Bowl. Do you remember anything about that morning before the game thinking, you're kidding me, we're playing today? Was there that kind of a feeling or no?
Well, yes, it was a very strong feeling because when it's that cold, you think, wow, you really have to be well organized, well prepared, mentally tough about it to handle it as it should be, and as you're going forward.
So when you got to the game, was it different than other games because you didn't have your footing, you didn't have the conditions of a normal game, so it was totally a grinded out kind of a game, wasn't it?
It certainly was because it had been so cold starting a couple days before that the ground had become very, very hard. It's as hard as this table in front of us here, and I'm not exaggerating. And then as the game wore on, it became even tougher because it was getting colder. And so the conditions on that field were not good. You're going to slip a little bit, and it was tough.
First half of that game, you look like you started to take control. How much do you remember about that? Because I think you had at least a 14-point lead at one time in that game.
I think so, but we also recognized what a tough opponent we were facing in that game. And so we knew that you could not sit on anything, that you had to be constantly pursuing that goal, that objective of winning. And in a very tough fashion, and that you're not going to back off for anything, that you had to give the best effort you had for that game throughout that game, because that was the kind of game it was.
Dallas put the pressure on in the second half.
Did they ever?
And towards the end there, it was really looking bleak, because you guys, I remember, did not move the ball well, maybe from the latter part of the third quarter until that final drive. They were stopping you every time. There must have been major concern on your sideline.
There was, because the Cowboys had come back and were doing exactly that. And we had great respect for them going into the game. We prepared well for it. Coach Lombardi respected the Cowboys and their situation extremely well and prepared us accordingly. So we were geared up for it, but it was just getting tougher because of the weather and all the other circumstances.
That final drive, I mean, I almost feel like I remember every play. How much of that do you remember? Could you recall a lot of that even right now?
I do, because of what we were seeking to accomplish in that drive, and because of the weather, the conditions on the field, and so forth. And when we make this statement, then I'll tell you what Coach Lombardi said, which I'll always remember.
Before we get to the sneak, describe that drive and some of the plays, why they were set up. I remember there were a lot of little short passes and just trying to pick up 10, 15 yards at a time. Mm-hmm. Chuck Mersine was highly involved in that drive, I think.
Yes, he was. He did a great job. We ran some key plays with the fullback carrying the ball. And he deserved a lot of credit for how well we were able to move in that final drive.
What was the thinking on the sideline because of the difficulty of the previous quarter not being able to move the ball? Why were you guys able to do it better on that last drive, besides urgency and desperation, obviously?
Well, I think we had learned a lot from the previous drives, and the ground was such that we were adjusting and I think doing a better job perhaps than an opponent who's not accustomed daily to that kind of weather. And so that certainly helped, but we felt very strong during that final drive.
What do you remember about on the goal line before the sneak, the first couple of plays where obviously footing was pretty much everything, wasn't it?
It certainly was. I'm glad you said that, pretty much everything. That's exactly what it was, because down there at that end of the field, the ground had become so hard, it was slippery. You could hardly start on it.
Right.
It was so hard. And it was a real, real tough concern that you had to have.
So I think it was two handoffs before the sneak. Is that correct? Right into the line, and then there was nothing.
That's correct.
Right.
We were just getting just back there to the line of scrimmage, and that was about it. It was just, again, picture this.
Yeah.
You turn from the center, you have the ball, and you're waiting to give it to the fullback, and the fullback is slipping and sliding, trying to get to you just to get to the ball.
Wow. Okay, so you call a timeout. What was it? 11 seconds left or 13 seconds?
Something like that.
Yeah. Okay, you go to the sideline. What do you remember about, before the last words of Vince, what do you remember about that little discussion?
I had mentioned to him that we had the capacity to block well.
Right.
But it was tough on our linemen to get much done because of their feet slipping and sliding when they were trying to block. But I said, we can still make this happen. And told him what, by giving it to the fullback was slipping and kind of stumbling. And I said, Coach, I'm standing upright. I can just kind of shuffle my feet and lunge in. And so help me, this is exactly what he said. He said, well, then run it, and let's get the hell out of here.
I love that. And if I remember that, you were having a hard time not laughing when he did that. Is that correct, like when you were going back onto the field?
That's exactly right. I didn't want the Cowboys to see me laughing. And so I...
can you imagine them seeing you laughing? Yeah. Like, what the heck were they talking about over there? Are they telling jokes or what?
There you go, see? And that's why I wanted to just make sure I did not do that.
Oh, that is so great. Okay, so you come up to the line. Now, Chuck Mersin, I'm pretty sure not everybody knew this, right? You knew it, but the fullbacks didn't know it. Is that correct, that you were going in on your own?
Yes, we... we had run the fullback on a wedge play earlier.
Right.
But they did not know on this particular one that I was just going to keep the ball and go in myself.
Isn't that unusual, though? They don't know the play? Because it's just like, hey, I'm taking it in. They don't even have to know because there's no blocking. I mean, they're going to be behind you anyway.
Well, exactly right. But the reason that we call the play and just kept the ball from canning it all was that the line doesn't change. They were blocking the same way. And so there was no change there that made any difference.
Okay, so what do you remember on that? How nervous were you knowing it's either now or never?
Well, I really wasn't thinking about that so much. I was thinking about how confident we were about the play. And that was what the focus was. All I wanted to do was make sure I didn't slip like the fullback was having a tough time slipping, that I could just shuffle my feet and lunge in, and that's exactly what we did.
So did you know for sure that you were in and there were no flags? I mean, did you just look around? Because it looked like there were about seven guys on top of you at the time.
Yeah, it looked that way. Yes, I did. I knew I could see it easily that I had gone in there.
So how much elation was there?
It was fabulous because they had done a good job of blocking on that particular defensive tackle, and it just took us right in.
Was that more of a relief, or as much of a relief as anything, knowing how cold it was, the importance of the game, as like just everything all at once? We can't lose this game, right?
Well, we certainly could not, and we knew that. And that's why all of us down at that point in the game were geared as high as we were, because we knew that we had to get it done.
So it evolved into Super Bowl I, which at the time wasn't Super Bowl I, right, yet, in my hometown of Los Angeles. What do you remember about that week leading up into this game? Because it certainly did not have the hype like they do these days.
No, it didn't, but it was a very rewarding and challenging week for us because of what we, the league, the team, the opposing teams, had built up going toward this. This was a huge, huge happening.
Max McGee, I told you this before, said to me, we didn't want to embarrass Coach. Coach was so strongly saying, if I lose this game, it's the worst loss of my life because you're supposed to beat this team. This is the American Football League. This is not the NFL. You feel a lot of that too?
Well, yes, because we felt it because of Coach Lombardi's discussions with us and to us. And yes, we felt like that this was a real happening that we were going to have to capitalize because we had the capacity and we had the background, the training to get it done. And it's a mental thing.
Right.
And so you have an attitudinal situation in front of you, which you've heard me say all the time, is so strong that you do it.
The other thing in regards to that game is you always have to worry about overconfidence. When you're expected to win, that's not a good thing to get the most out of you. Was that a concern amongst the guys at all?
No.
Never?
No. We just felt like the way Coach Lombardi had handled us and worked with us, that we were really well prepared, and that what our confidence level was at a level where it should have been,
right?
But that we were going to emphasize it mentally. So we can go out there and take the game and win it.
At the start of that game, guys got off to a little bit of a slow start, and then your number one receiver goes down. I talked to Max, and he said the last thing in the world he ever expected to do that day was actually even play.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the story he told me. He's sitting not only behind the bench, he's like way in the back with Paul Hornung, who didn't dress for that game. He was, I guess, injured at the time. Mm-hmm. So he didn't even play in that game. And they were talking about Paul Horning's bachelor party during the game because they just said, we're going to win. And all of a sudden, this is Max telling me this, he hears McGee from the sideline. And Paul looks at him and he goes, Coach knows you came in really, really late from last night. and he's going to embarrass you in front of the whole team right now. He had no idea that Dowler was hurt. He had no idea he was going to play. And he yelled at him, McGee, where are you? And he comes running. What do you want, coach? He goes, get in the game. Get in the game. For what? Dowler's hurt. We need you. What were your thoughts on – you probably knew that he wasn't in the greatest condition. I mean, I don't know. Did you know that? Did you know he was out late the previous night? Because Vince did. He ran into him in the hotel that day at 5 in the morning.
Well, we didn't know about it that much until we were hearing some things the next morning,
right.
the day of the game. And so you have to take those things in stride and move along. And you know that if there's anyone who could make it happen and overcome that, it'd be Max. And he did.
Yes, he did. First catch, what do you remember? The first Super Bowl touchdown pass, he had to reach behind him. What do you remember about that play?
What a great catch he made. And then a father-son breakfast a couple days later when they had a question and answer period after we'd made our statements. One of the dads stepped up and he said, Max, he said, I don't understand you. He said, you go down the field. And he said, boy, you bobble the ball a little bit or something. I said, yet here's one that's thrown 2 feet behind you. You just reach back and plug it up and pull it in and score.
It was a one-handed catch is what it was.
And he said, I don't understand it. How do you do that? And Max looked over at me and he said, well, that's easy. He said, I never get a chance to practice this kind. He put up both hands right in front of him, full speed throw.
In other words, his quarterback doesn't put it right in his hands.
Exactly. And then he puts his hand behind him back over here. And, of course, the whole place came apart with laughter. But that was Max.
Yeah, Max was great. And then he told me that second catch, that little bobbling thing in the end zone. He said, actually, I thought I saw two or three balls. That was left over from the previous night. You had a lot of confidence in him, but he didn't play a lot that year, if I recall. He only played like 3 or 4 games, I think, that year.
I don't know what his total. You're talking about Max.
Yeah, Max, yeah.
I don't know what the total was, but it was less than it had been sometimes during the years. But typically of Max, it was a situation where whenever he was called upon, he delivered.
Yeah, that's for sure. And by the way, when it was all over, I said to him, you know, you could have been the MVP of Super Bowl I. And he said, this is exact, and I'll play it for you sometime. He said, well, yeah, but he's the Bart, and the Bart gets what he deserves. That's what he said to me.
Well, that sounds like Max, because he was a very humble person, very proud, very strong-willed, but also extremely well-balanced about how he handled his life. Before the game, during the game, after the game, late at night.
And after his career, too, because a lot of people forget he's one of the most successful businessmen from that era.
Is he ever?
Yep.
He's a very successful businessman.
Okay, so when that game is over, was there more of a relief than a celebration like we're supposed to win this game, and we did? You remember the feeling?
Well, it was a little bit of each because you're thrilled when you have a big victory in a game of that magnitude. So we were. And I know that some might have thought that, but we loved it. We were just very, very excited about having won it, and we were excited.
Did you feel it was a part of history after a while, or did it take a long time after that? Because at the time, again, it wasn't known as the Super Bowl yet, but because it was against the American football, did you feel a sense of history, or is that like happened much later?
Well, we felt a little bit of something, obviously, after it, because of the meaning that game took on.
Sure.
But then as time went on, that meaning just raised, was pushed well on up. And what a joy to be able to sit there and hear someone talking about it and know that you were privileged to be one of those who was in it.
I'm sure. A couple more things. If I say the term run to daylight, describe to somebody who's never saw you guys play what that means.
Do the best job that you can of making the most that you can of a happening in front of you with the blocking. If you were well aware of what the blocking technique was on a particular play, then you would know how to react to it if there was a slight jam up by the defense or a much more aggressively quicker opening of something that you hadn't necessarily anticipated. You just hoped it'd be there. But it was, I think it's a positive thing. It's one of those attitudinal points right. I've come back on so many times.
I love it.
It's just, I do too. You just get ready for a situation.
So it really comes down to preparation, almost everything,
absolutely.
Doesn't it?
Absolutely. Preparation is vital in anything that we do in our lives.
Of course.
And those are the great lessons that are learned by that.
So do you think you had a better team overall than most, and that's why you won, or you were more prepared than most teams? What do you think? Or is it a combination?
I think it's a combination. But we were extremely well prepared. But we had taken that preparation, that teaching and coaching from Coach Lombardi with us right to the game, up through the last session as a team, to on out and on the field, practicing sure. before the game, working up, starting the game with a kickoff, bang, you're ready to go, and here you are. You've worked your way up through all of this throughout the season to this time.
What's it like to be the quarterback of, if not the greatest dynasty, certainly one of the top few in the NFL, knowing the legacy that will be there forever?
Very humbling. Very special feeling. You recognize the true, as I mentioned to you earlier, the true meaning of the word team. And that's why I love to do it, because all you have to ask a person is just go spell it. And listen to what they tell them. Together, everyone achieves more. And it's that simple.
It's that simple. That's in all of life, as a family,
absolutely.
As a company,
absolutely.
As a whatever,
that's
or
right.
in sports, right?
That's right, because that's how you get it done. You don't do it individually. Individuals contribute, but you do it as a team.
Last thing, living in Birmingham area for forever, right? How often do you ever go through a day where somebody doesn't say, hey, there goes Bart Starr? I mean, that's got to be a wonderful feeling that you're very recognized, isn't it?
It is a very strong feeling, it is. And I am humbled by it, because I recognize, anytime I hear it or see it, I recognize the number of people who contributed to that word team that I've spelled for yeah. you twice today already.
Yeah.
Because when you recognize and you understand that is what gets it done. It brings you right down to where you ought to be. That's on both feet, standing right next to all of your teammates, working as best you can to get back up to that top notch.
And to sum up the entire Bart Starr story, how do you want people to always remember you by, the ones that never saw you play or the ones that enjoyed seeing you play? How do you sum it up from your standpoint?
A very grateful performer. I was fortunate to be with a very special team, and that's why I want to keep going back to together, yep. everyone achieves more. But see, it says everyone.
Right.
And then we recognize that our great coach, Coach Lombardi, brought us through all of this and all the way up to that top shelf level. You have to appreciate how organized and beautifully taught you were because of that great man.
It's amazing, isn't it? One
is.
Guy changed everything over there, didn't he?
He certainly did.
Because,
he
I mean,
was
you
a
guys,
fabulous man.
And you guys had a very good team, but you just didn't know how to get over the hump until that guy showed up. Is that correct?
That's just about it, yes.
Yeah.
We were getting and working our way up and getting better. But he came along with the leadership talent that we lacked and we needed there at Green Bay. And because of his strength and because of all the pluses he had going for him, he took us right on up till we got to the top.
Bart, I was a Packers fan as a kid. It's a total pleasure to meet you today, and I enjoyed every second of it.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed chatting with you. This has been fun to talk about it.
Thanks, and let's do it again soon.
I'm all for it.
All right, thanks, Bart. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank
you.
Fantastic.